challenge if you're evaluating a very veteran speaker who is a very polished presenter. However, I submit that even in those instances, there are things that you can find that could help them make their next presentation even more polished and more powerful. An evaluation needs to offer affirmation. We heard our keynote speaker this morning talk about affirmations, and what are those things? Those are things that are positive feedback. I am a New York Times best-selling author. So you affirm your speaker in much the same way. I could tell, Margie, that you were very committed to your topic this morning. I could see that in your passion as you spoke. It was very clear. So you're affirming her enthusiasm for whatever she was talking about. The fourth thing an evaluation must offer is a lesson. How many of the people in this room are teachers? A few. You have to have a lesson plan, which is your outline in the manual that you're using. And if you don't have an outline, we're going to offer you some today. Perhaps it's a contest speech, so they're not actually perhaps making a manual presentation. You want to offer them a lesson, something they can take home and concentrate on in a future speech to make that speech better than the one they gave today. All right, so you want to offer a lesson. Well, I suppose all of those things go into the next letter, which is an evaluation must be useful. If you stand up and talk about how wonderful you looked today as a speaker, if you stand up and repeat the speech the speaker just gave, you have not given the speaker any useful feedback in your evaluation, and you want to offer something useful, give them some meat. I would say, give them some meat. Marie Antoinette said, let them eat cake, and that's great if you're having a dessert party. If you're having dinner, you need more than dessert, don't you? So make it useful information. You want to achieve a purpose, which ties back to the first step of making an effort to talk to your speaker so that you know what is it that they want to do, and did in fact they achieve their purpose. So can you achieve your purpose as you offer them feedback? This is my favorite. Tell the truth. Love. If you can't be honest, they will know it. If you can't be loving, you might as well have saved your breath. Because when you hurt people, all they have is a sense of rejection. And none of us want to do that as evaluators. Finally, you must be effective. And if, in fact, you have made some effort, you have offered some value, you've given affirmation, you've had a lesson to share, you've made your information useful, you have achieved a purpose, and you've told the truth in love, you have indeed given an effective evaluation. Now, Lupe is going to tell you a little bit about being an evaluator as opposed to giving an evaluation. Lupe, welcome.
Thank you, Gloria. Evaluation is an awesome thing. I've got so many things hanging around. Ties me down. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this session. We're so happy that you're here because we want you to know that as an evaluator, you can be a hero. You can be a hero to that person whom you're evaluating because you're helping them to uplift their self-confidence and thereby helping them to become better speakers, better communicators, and better leaders. You can do that as a hero, as an evaluator. You can help them to achieve their goals. Hopefully, everyone in your club is going to be doing a manual speech, because manual speeches have guidelines. You have objectives that you need to follow. You have guidelines in the back for the evaluator to follow. Did these objectives get met? So as a hero for this person, and I know heroism is described a little differently in there, as someone who saved someone's life. However, I think that as evaluators, we help to save some people's lives. I know for me, when I was a young Toastmaster, I used to talk, you would never have heard me beyond the second line here. My voice was way down here, and I was very quiet because I could not project my voice. I didn't know how, I suppose. I had mentors who were tough on me. They were wonderful, though. Every time that I got up to speak, I was reminded that I needed to learn to project my voice. One of them would always sit at the back of the room when it was my turn to speak to see if they could hear me, if he could hear me. And if he couldn't hear me, he'd do the little sign that we all do, you know, this little sign, I can't hear you, speak up. The other one gave me a manual that said, read this. Practice in front of the mirror. Project your voice. Pretend you're a singer. Well, you wouldn't want to hear me sing. But I practiced all of those things little by little as my evaluators continued to help me, not only in that process but in others, but continued to help me. I believe that I can be heard at the back of the room. Can I? I hope. Can be heard back there where I didn't used to be able to. I feel truly, both of those guys are now dead, but they're my heroes because they helped me to do the thing that I wanted to do, was to learn to speak and communicate with the public. That was part of my job at that time. That's why I went to Toastmasters. I needed to be able to project better. I had to do stuff on TV and the radio, and I wasn't really familiar with that until I came to Toastmasters. And that was 20-something years ago, and guess what? I'm still here. So it has a lot to do with the fact that someone helped me to achieve those primary goals of mine. In your manual, you will do written evaluations. You know that. When you come up to give that evaluation, though, don't just read it. Don't just read it. Talk to them from your heart. That's what you need to do. Talk to them from your heart, because you will help to transform those people from just being ordinary speakers to being the type of speakers that they want to be. All of these people who have been in these contests started where all of us started. They were all nervous. They didn't know how to speak up. They had to practice. They had to do all of those things. But who helped them the most? Who do they tell us helped them the most? Their mentors, their evaluators, because they mentioned to them the things that needed to happen so that their speeches would be better, so they would be better received. And I think that's why I say that you are heroes as evaluators. Our role in helping them to transform, I think, comes by the use of our active listening skills and by our observation skills. Our active listening skills, in my estimation, means your head, your ears, and your heart. You have to have all those avenues open so that the information can go in and you can truly focus on that one person standing in front of that room giving a speech, so that you can give them the feedback that they deserve. Because when you've made an effort to stand up here, you deserve that. We gave you a lot of handouts. There are many ways in which to evaluate, and all of those forms will give you a certain way. Use the one that is the most valuable for you. I like the compliment, critique, and challenge method, because that's the one I like to use. Because I love to compliment people at the beginning and let them know what part of that speech or their appearance appealed to me right away. And remember, it's always your opinion of what you've seen and what you've heard. Nobody else in the room might agree with you, but this is what you saw, what you heard, and what you felt. So you're telling them the truth. Like Gloria said, tell them the truth in love. and always try to find some way to challenge them at the end. That, to me, is where you really learn what to do. How to give your speeches. The closing may not have really gone back to the beginning of the speech, and it may not have sealed that envelope, sealed that sale. That they need to hear that. Your closing was a little weak, and this is what I feel that perhaps you might do, because you're telling them how you feel. Or you have too many points, maybe you could have divided it and had two speeches out of that. Things that are kind, but you're still giving them information that is so valuable to them when they are preparing a speech and presenting the next speech. Always remember before you give a presentation, it's your opinion, but is it kind? Is it necessary? And is it effective? Always think about those things before you ever open your mouth. Is it kind and is it necessary? Madam? Whoever. Now you're going to hear a speech presentation for a few minutes, and then you'll hear an evaluation. Gloria Williams is going to do an icebreaker, and you know, in the icebreakers, in the icebreakers, we have certain guidelines, and the icebreaker mostly is to introduce ourselves to the audience, to let the audience know who we are and perhaps what it is that we want, what we're doing here. Today, Gloria is going to do an icebreaker for us, and then I will be evaluating that icebreaker from her manual, and then we want feedback from you about the speech and how all of this has been done. So please help me welcome Gloria back again. The title of Gloria's speech is My Grand Life. The time is 5 to 7 minutes.
4 to 6.
4 to 6. She changed. See, it's a woman's prerogative to change her mind is with 4 to 6 minutes.
We're so coordinated. For me, my grand life began 16 years ago, next Thursday. That was my first grandchild's date of birth. Since then, 13 more grandchildren have joined the family. So my grand life just keeps getting grander and grander. This picture was taken several years ago, and I'm sorry it's not bigger. This is how big it is. And I want to tell you about some of the special qualities that have come my way as this tribe has expanded. First, becoming a grandmother. Oh my goodness. I had no idea what that meant. And then my daughter, my firstborn, decided my grandmother name would be Nana. I like that name. Even though there was a dog named Anna in Peter Pan. The problem I had with that name is my grandmother was Nana, and I never have felt like I quite measure. Nonetheless, the name stuck, and I've grown accustomed to hearing that sweet sound on the lips of my grandchildren. Luke was special because he was first, and I always wanted a Luke. When I had my only son, fourth in the line of 6 children, so that means 5 of them were girls, I wanted to name him Luke, and my husband wouldn't let me. Sounds like a black basketball player with big lips, Luke Williams. So I had to wait until my daughter had Luke for me. My second memorable, truly memorable, one of the highlights of my life moment in the grandparent world was the birth of my third daughter's first child. She invited me to be there for the delivery. The only other time I've been in a delivery room was when I was working. So I didn't really
get the full appreciation moment, I was sweating too much. But when Lauren was born, I stood directly behind the obstetrician, who was about 4 feet tall, and looked over her shoulder at this miracle taking place in front of my very eyes. Wow. What a moment in my life. I'm sorry that all of you have not had that same moment. It is awesome. Then Ravity was another memorable grandchild arrival because she came by way of adoption from India. Her birth mother didn't even tell anybody she was pregnant except her mom and the orphanage where she worked, because the stigma in India against a woman having a baby outside marriage is so strong that her father and brothers would have been employed and her whole family would have been considered outcasts. Mm. That's powerful. Ravity has always been my ray of sunshine. I almost never see her without a smile on her face. And she, too, is a treasure. All of them are treasures. Then Sarah, the daughter who invited me to see Lauren's birth, gave me twins, Will and Katie. They were born in some distress, but within 24 hours, they were off oxygen, and they've been roaring ever since. Not only are they Will and Katie, boy and girl, but Will is the gentle, tender-hearted sweetie pie. Katie is the, get out of my way, I'm coming through. Somehow the gender signals got crossed somewhere, but it's amazing to watch them grow and develop. Will is also big and husky little boy. Katie is a dainty, teeny tiny little girl, and yet they're twins. I have two more pictures to show you. These are my two newest grandchildren. This is Patrick. He was the third child born to my fifth daughter, Ellen. That's Ellen Hope. And when she was born, my husband said, anybody with five kids deserves a little hope. Ellen Hope, and she has three boys. This is Peter.
Aww.
He just got here on June 30th, and he is Luke's baby brother and Ravity's baby brother. So my firstborn now is the mother of five. We're not in a race. If she passes me up, it's quite all right. As you can see, my life is pretty full and extremely grand. I still have two children who are not married. So the possibility for grandness only stands to increase and excite me even more. I can't wait.
And some of them aren't married.
Thank you, Gloria. So do you feel that you got to know something about Gloria through this speech?
Absolutely. Yes.
I think she met that objective quite well. Gloria's presence up here is pretty vibrant. She has a grand sense of humor. Truly enjoyed that part of it. I think we got to know her a little bit better, how she is inside, by her description of how wonderful it is to have the grandchildren she's had and the descriptions she gave of each one of them. The pictures that she described were almost better. Well, they were a whole lot better than these pictures, because these were too small. My challenge to you. But I thought that she met her criteria well. She had a good opening. She segued into the body of her speech so well, just danced right through it, took us right into what she really wanted to tell us, was how much she cares for all of these people who have given so much to her life. And she told us how her grand life really happened. She didn't have any notes, which is a very commendable thing for an icebreaker, obviously. She's done more than one icebreaker, but this was for today. No notes, and that's pretty commendable. The word pictures is one of the things that I liked the most. She used good descriptive adjectives. Her body language pretty much reflected what she was talking about. Her eyes dazzled. Did you notice that? her eyes dilated. She was saying things that really made her feel good, but then you could also see it in the way she was doing. I think that maybe she might have been able to move over a little bit to this side of the room so you could have seen as much of her as these people did. And the other thing that I feel would have been very helpful was if these had been a little bit bigger, or if we could have hung them up somewhere so that you could see them, because they were a little bit too small. All in all, this was a good speech. I felt comfortable with the fact that she achieved her goals. I think she presented her life to us well so that the next time we see Gloria, we'll know just a little bit more about her. Thank you. We need some feedback according to all the things that you've heard. What did you feel about what you saw? Did you feel that things have been accomplished for you? Have you learned something from this? Because that was our goal, was to make sure that you feel a little more comfortable the next time that you're going to do an evaluation. We realize that some of you have done many evaluations, but we can always learn one other little thing, can't we, when we go to these workshops? We can always pick up one thing. We want to pick up something from you, so if you give us some feedback, we'll be able to do that. Have any feedback? Everybody's very quiet. Yes, ma'am.
I happen to like the fact that each member of the club offers a written evaluation for each speech to each member. I think that reinforces an entire room full of different responses, and I think it gives powerful feedback to the actual speaker, and I like it. I think it's wonderful for the speaker to have that, to keep with them, to reinforce the message of each person that heard them.
I'm not sure y'all heard that, did you?
No.
She said she likes, which is true. We do it in a couple of clubs that I belong to, is to give feedback after each speech. We ask for 30 seconds of silence so that the members of the club can give back a little snippet of information to that speaker. The speaker walks away not only with an oral evaluation, but with a multitude of evaluations, which you can keep, take home, and read and savor, or get ideas of what else people would have liked to hear from you. Think about it for your clubs, because it works very well. Yes?
Yes. In three of my clubs, they also have a first place and a second place.
Oh, okay.
When they have, mm-hmm. sometimes they have two speeches, mm-hmm. sometimes three.
She says that in some of her clubs, they sometimes have a first and a second place. They vote in their clubs. Some clubs do, some clubs don't. So they have a first and a second place speaker or evaluator.
And they walk away with a ribbon.
And you walk away with a ribbon, so you get rewarded for what you've done, which is kind of nice. We all like rewards. Thank you. Yes?
Do you have a recommendation for how many speeches a new Toastmaster should do before giving an evaluation?
I believe, this is my opinion, that I believe a Toastmaster should have given at least 3 to 5 speeches before they do an evaluation on a new Toastmaster. A little bit more before you do an evaluation on an experienced Toastmaster, because I think that's a little more daunting for people. That's the way I feel. Now that
can
may
I,
not.
Can I just add to
yes.
that? I totally agree, Nick, because if you are a fairly novice Toastmaster, and then you have to evaluate BTM, giving a technical presentation speech, you might be so penalized you can't even think of anything to say. If you're evaluating another icebreaker, you've just done one. So your empathy is high and it's easier.
Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Andre Mortier. I'm representing the Lone Star Group from Killing, Texas. It's my first conference. I'm giving 6 speeches on my way to becoming a competent communicator. All of the time that I've been in Toastmaster, going back to January of this year, I've been so focused on giving speeches, how to give a great speech. What I'm taking away from this training today is the art of evaluation, as the name of this is. I want to commend you, Lupe, and Gloria, for this presentation today, how y'all put it together, speaking from love. I'm just going to ask everybody to give them a hand right now.
distraction back there. We had that audience over there that they were clapping and moving on. So what I've learned from my speeches or from the club that I'm with, and we will encounter distractions, is I guess the speaker in itself was probably going to have to step away from behind the scene.
And go up there.
And go up here. And I think she did an excellent job projecting her voice, certainly. But because I had distraction back there, I couldn't hear. And I think you had a wonderful speech, by the way. I could not hear.
And I couldn't hear the
some of
we
the,
couldn't hear
yeah.
the
So you see, no, not at all. But that's good. She's asking for,
that's important for us.
So, we've encountered that ourselves because we have like a building where people are walking by and so forth, and or maybe they're passing the agenda around, which I think is unacceptable, but it's done. Because it distracts the speaker.
The speaker, yes.
But anyway, that's
my observations are some evaluations on the speakers.
I have a question.
Yes.
One thing that I noticed, and I just noticed it here, and I know we're not supposed to be evaluating content, but when you're using racial references, for instance, at our club, somebody used or when you use the reference to Luke.
That was a direct quote.
Yeah. And I was just wondering, like, how, to me, individually, it's kind of offensive. So how would you evaluate something like that if you're not supposed to evaluate the content, even though the content...
Well, you can, in the way you can evaluate that, because...
Can you repeat the question?
She said, how would you evaluate, in their club, they have experienced some racial... content,
slurs,
not really.
No, not really, just a wetback on my roof.
Just using terminology such as she said a wetback.
Yeah.
And then she was listening to Gloria giving that reference to Luke, and she was quoting somebody.
Right.
But how do you get around that, she said, so that it's not offensive to the people listening? And there are ways to get around it. You just don't use them sometimes. Or what she was doing was doing a direct quote, but she should have said it was a fun thing, but maybe not appropriate. I don't know.
What I've heard is you got to know your audience. Who is in your audience?
Right.
So you won't offend
anyone. So that you won't offend anyone. Yes, ma'am.
Along with that, the question was actually, how do you evaluate something?
And how do you, that's right. Yeah. She said, how do you evaluate that? Well, I think that I would say if I had felt that there was, that it had offended me, I didn't really take it that way, but if I had felt that, and if you had been the evaluator, I would have said that comment that you make about Luke was a little offensive to me. Perhaps it's something you might want to use a different picture of that. You might want to use a different phraseology. I think that that would not hurt the speaker, and I think it would help the audience to understand how the evaluator felt about that. What do you think? What do you think? Yes.
Even if it didn't offend me, I would still point that out to the speaker and say, you have to be sensitive to your audience and make sure that whatever you're going to refer to is not going to be offensive to them.
Correct. You said that it would be good to say that even if it didn't offend the evaluator, to say that that might be offensive to others, so it would be best not to use that kind of phrase.
Okay, now, I think it's 2:20.
3:15.
2 minutes left, and I want to thank you very much for your questions and comments, but now we'd like to get you to give us some evaluation of the speech and or the evaluate tour, okay? Anybody have any offerings?
With love.
Yes.
I'm with a different type of club with often Taste Masters, and the challenge with our club is that oftentimes as a speaker, you don't get to choose what size of a room, who your audience is, or anything. Mm-hmm. So you have to be very prepared for changing up your style of your speech at the moment you may even start. So as we started having, we got the room very far back, so you would have to adjust to reach the people in the back by being much louder, perhaps movements that are a bit larger than you would do with a smaller group. And, of course, with the noise in the room across the way, it means you have to actually be aware of the fact that other people are being distracted. So these are why you would have to create that difference in how you present. And I think that's one of the things that all speakers, including new ones, have to realize is if you walk in there with a sense of what you're going to say and what it's going to come across like, but then when you actually get in the room, it may be nothing like that, and you have to be prepared to do it differently.
That's absolutely right. Yes.
I would like to have seen you talk a little bit about this very excellent handout you gave us, because there were some forms in there I wasn't familiar with, and they're
like
all good.
Like the code?
Yeah.
Yes. But we did make this, there's just not enough time in 5 to 7 minutes to do everything you want to do. And that's a shame, but you know, you only have X amount of time.
But those
do
look
pretty, because these are wonderful. We've gotten them from different areas. The evaluation 3C method has been around for a very long time, and we've used it for a long time in many of our clubs. The one, I think it's the next one that you have there. Just look through them. The speech evaluation gives you a method of doing about your speech structure and doing that critique part of the evaluation, which is so important. There's another one in there that's how I saw you, how I heard you, and as I reacted to you. And I've heard many people use that and use it so effectively. It's as I saw you. In other words, what was my, how did I look up there? How did I present to you? As I heard you, and as you know, we said, it's important to hear actively, to listen actively. What did I hear you say to me? And that's when comments come forth about what you heard. And as I reacted, and that's the other part that we were talking about that's so important, how did that evaluator feel and react to that speech? What were the qualities in that speech that I truly liked? What were the qualities in that speech that I feel you might be able to change a little bit? There's quite a few of them. We gleaned them from different clubs. People have sent them to us. We did a workshop like this before, and people sent us more of these because they have used them in their clubs. Look at them, test them out, see which form feels the best to you, and then use that. Because I think you do a better job when you have something that you're using that you feel comfortable with. Yes.
Did you use any of these methods?
The compliment, critique, and challenge.
And in addition to these guides, they're there for your benefit, use them or not as you wish. Don't forget to look at the guidelines in the manual or the speech, because that's probably the most important part of your evaluation. They're working toward that particular.
What these help you to do is to not read the whole thing here. Is how to put that into a different language. That's what they do. Yes, ma'am.
I came in just as you guys were getting started. Do you have more of this?
No, we don't. But I'll tell you what, if you'll write down my email address, if you didn't get a copy of the handout, I will email you.
Well, that was my question. It's Jerry's last time he took our sessions and was able to post them on the internet, on the website.
Thank you.
I just have an observation in following up on this gentleman's comment from the Lone Star Toastmasters Club. He said that he was focusing on working on his speeches, and I just want to sort of maybe turn on a little light bulb that when you give an evaluation, you are giving a speech. Mm-hmm. And so you should, it's sort of like a hybrid between prepared speeches and table topics. Table topics is practicing your impromptu speaking, and prepared speeches is preparing in advance. Well, you can do a little preparing in advance. You can do a little impromptu stuff because you're doing it on the fly. But what you want to do is you want to give a full speech. Use all of your skills when you give your evaluation, opening body conclusion, use your body language, eye contact, vocal variety, keep it interesting, tell a story, all those things that you learn by practicing your prepared speech, and you are indeed practicing your speaking skills when you give evaluation. And then the other thing I want to point out is, the wonderful thing that happens in Toastmasters that you can't find anywhere else is, Lupe evaluated Gloria, but Gloria's not the only person who benefited from her evaluation. Everybody in the room heard something about Gloria's speech that they can work on in their own speech. That's what I call the power of the synergy of Toastmasters. It doesn't just help the person directly talking, it helps everybody who hears it. And you choose what you're going to take away from that, just like Gloria's going to choose what she's going to take away from that. So remember, you're giving a speech, you're practicing your speaking skills, and and you're helping someone else and everyone else in the room.
Thank you very much.
I like to challenge that. I saw evaluation that was a speech that was just repeating the speech.
Well, that's what we said. Don't do that.
That is not the evaluation.
Because the speaker doesn't learn from that. I think what's happening from these opening and closing doors is supposed to be out of here. We really
Thank you all.